Okay, Rabotai, we continue in Pirkei Avot. We are in the middle of a Mishnah, or some versions have it as a separate Mishnah in itself. Amar lahem tse'ur u ezohi derech ra'a sheitrachek mimena ha'adam. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his Talmidim now for phase two, part two, of his homework, of the research, of the project that he gave them. Go out and find out what is the opposite, what is the way that is bad and evil that a person should stay away from. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ayin ra'a. Rabbi Eliezer says, a bad eye. If you remember, he was the one who said, Ayin Tova is the good way. So, naturally, the opposite of that, which is Ayin Ra'a. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Chavera. Yoshua says, a bad friend. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shachen Ra. Rabbi Yossi said, a bad neighbor. So far, these three Tanaim HaKadoshim, they said exactly the opposite of what they called the Derech Yeshara. Ayin Tova, so Ayin Ra'a is the bad way. Chaver Tov, Chavera is the bad way. Shachen Tov, Shachen Ra is the bad way. Makes sense? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Halove Ve'eno Meshalem. Rabbi Shimon says, what is the way that a person should be careful to stay away from? That is, Halove Ve'eno Meshalem. To borrow money and not to pay back. And he adds, Echad alove min ha'adam kelove min ha'makom baruchu. A person who borrows from another is as if he borrows from Hashem. Shene'emar love rasha velo yeshalem. A love, one who borrows and he doesn't pay, is called the rasha. V'tzadik chonen v'noten. But a tzaddik is careful always to pay what he owes. Very interesting. I mean, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asked, go out and find out the derech ra'a, the bad way, the evil way that a person should stay away from. And he says, love rasha ve'lo yishalem, love ve'eno mishalem, a person who borrows and he doesn't pay. Interesting. It seems to be one individual act out of many other kinds of evils. And yet, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel is calling this a derech ra'a, that a person has to stay away from. Another thing, Rabbi Shimon, when he was given the task to ask to find out what is the derech tova, he said, haro'eh et hanolad, one who has the foresight to see the repercussions of what he's doing. He sees the future, he sees the results of his actions. And here, you would think the opposite would be someone who is not ro'eh tanulad. What does he say? Alove v'no mishalem. It seems random. It seems as if it's not connected. Interesting. Now, if you look in the Pirush of Rav Chaim Volozhin in the Ruach Chaim, he writes, Alove v'no mishalem. Ki ha'adam ba'asoto avera hu love ve'nifra'im imenu ben midato ben shelo midato im lo para me'atzmo ha'inu she'asa teshuva. So first of all, Rav Chaim Volozhin explains the words of Rabbi Shimon ha'love ve'no mishalem not as the separate individual act of not paying up a loan. He explains it as a concept. It's actually a general concept. And what is that? When a person commits a sin, he has to know that he's borrowing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem owes us nothing. We constantly receive and receive from Him life and kindness and compassion. And everything we get from Hashem is not because we deserve it. It's not because we are owed anything. In fact, quite the opposite. We owe Hashem for what He does for us. Ma ashiv l'ashem kol tagmulo yalai. So we are very far behind in our payments back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the very first breath that we take on this planet, we are already mortgaged for life. Kol ha-neshama tehalelia, halleluya, al kol neshima u-neshima tehalelia. For every breath we owe. So how can we do something against the will of the one who is constantly supporting us? Well, it's begeder halva'a. It's as if we're taking a loan. We're borrowing time. Achamana litzlan. How do we pay that up? How do we pay that halva'a? By doing teshuva, says Rabbi Chaim Mivolojin. So halove ve'eno meshalem means a person who feels that he can do whatever he wants in this world and he doesn't have to pay back. And he doesn't owe anybody. So you see, it's not just an individual act of loaning $100, borrowing $100 from someone and not paying it up. It's much more than that. Living in this world without the concept of feeling bogged down with the burden of having to say thank you. Many people are constantly complaining about Hashem. Why does he do this to me? Why does he do that to me? As if Hashem owes them any kind of anything. If we would focus more our mind on saying thank you, on thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what he does for us, then we would realize that everything we receive is a blessing from Hashem. And the complaints would be much less. One who complains about Hashem every day lacks the understanding that we live in debt to Hashem. D-E-B-T. Even when he does any chesed to us, what is the bracha that we go up to the Torah and say? Baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, hagomel lechayavim tovot. See that? Chazal put it into the bracha so we should understand and have the real perspective. We could have just said, hagomel chasadim, hagomel lanu tovot, hagomel lechayavim tovot. Who's the chayavim? First of all, what does chayavim mean? Chayavim means people who owe. Ani chayav lo. I owe him. Gomel lechayavim tovot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows tovot to those who owe him already. Can you imagine that? Hashem doesn't say, you know what? I'm not going to make this miracle for him. I'm not going to save him. You know why? He's backed up in debt. He owes me so much. What am I going to give him? Another thing that he should owe me more? Hashem doesn't say that. Hashem says, I know, he's chayav, ani mevin, aval ani gomel ito tovot. I'm still going to give him good. That's hagomel lechayavim tovot, shegemalani kol tov. Beautiful. So it comes out that halove ve'no mishalem is not an isolated act. It's an overall, general, mistaken outlook at the world. A person thinks he can constantly be taking and taking and taking, and it doesn't even dawn on him to be Meshalim. Can you imagine how many people in this world eat and eat and eat every day, meals upon meals upon meals? Mountains of food over the years are consumed without one time Birkat HaMazon. How is that possible? How is it possible to take a big Subway sandwich and to sit there on the middle of the block and to take your lunch break and to put it into your mouth without any thought, is there someone that I should say thank you to for this beautiful and long sandwich? No. No, it doesn't dawn. That's a love ve'no mishalem. Now, the truth is it's worse than love ve'no mishalem. Love ve'no mishalem knows that he owes, but he's not able to pay up. But most of the world doesn't even know that they owe. That's a tragedy of tragedies, Rabotai. How is it possible to eat bread and not to think, where did that bread come from? How does the earth produce bread? How is that? That's a miracle of miracles. David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, you know, there's a mizmor in Tehilim called Halel HaGadol. Halel HaGadol. I'm sorry, Rabotai, it's slipping today, and so I'm trying to hold it back. You know what's Halel HaGadol? That's the mizmor that says the 26 kile olam chazdos. Hodul Hashem kito kile olam chazdo. Hodul Elokei Elokim kile olam chazdo. Okay? Lesicho melecha imori kile olam chazdo. Log melecha bashan kile olam chazdo. You have there 26 or 28. I forgot the exact number right now. I think 28. 28 kile olam chazdo. What is the last one? Before the words Hodu le'el ha'shamayim ki le'olam chasdo. What's the one before that? Noten lechem lechol basar ki le'olam chasdo. Noten lechem lechol basar ki le'olam chasdo.
That's the 26 derivations.
I'm not talking about that now, Avi. Avi, I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about the simple pshat. The simple pshat. Baruchim abayim. The simple pshat rabotai. What is the last one after the 28? Oh, noten lechem lechol basar. The miracle of giving bread. And the Gemara tells us, kashim mezonotav shel adam mikriat yamsuf. Now, people translate the words kashim mezonotav shel adam ki kriat yamsuf, that to work for a living, to get mezonot, is kashim ki kriat yamsuf. We work so hard, it's harder than kriat yamsuf. That's not the pshat of the statement. I don't even think it's begeder drush either. Kashim mezonotav shel adam ki kriat yamsuf. Look in Rashi there, on the Gemara. It's towards the end of Masechet Psachim. It means the ness of mezonotav shel adam is a bigger ness. That's what kashim over here means. It's so much more intricate. In Hebrew, kashe doesn't just mean difficult. It can mean intricate, which means there are so many miracles of miracles that have to happen in order for that piece of bread to arrive at our table. How many miracles upon miracles? Noten lechem lechol basar is the culmination of that entire list of ki le'olam chasdo, ki le'olam chasdo. Legozer yamsuf legzarim is in the middle. It's in the middle, kriat yamsuf. Aval noten lechem lechol basar. That's the miracle of all miracles. The fact that we don't go wild with excitement at the sight of a loaf of bread is only because of that very well-known human weakness, which is, we're used to it. We see it every day. We see it every day. So it's not such a miracle. Oh, Krat Yam Suf, that happened once in our history, or twice in our history. So we get excited over it. The truth is, Rabotai, Motzi Lechem Min Haaretz is a bigger ness. It's a bigger miracle. Remember what the Haggadah Shel Pesach says? There's a machloket between the Tanaim. How many miracles happened at Yam Suf? One Tana says 50 makot. One Tana says 200 makot. What, right? One time says 500 makot. So many makot. When it says makot, what does it mean makot? It means miracles. I know makot means plagues, but each plague was a miracle, okay? So that means kriat yam suf, let's say maximum was 500 miracles. Or 250 makot. Mechila. I think Rabbi Akiva is the final mandeh amar there. 250 makot, 250 miracles. Kashim mezonotav shel adam means for that piece of bread to arrive at our table, it's at least 250 miracles. And that's an understatement. That's an understatement. It's a myriad of miracles. So now, getting back to that person who sits and eats bread every day in his life, and it doesn't even dawn on him to say Birkat HaMazon. How could a person take bread in his hands and eat it and not look around him to say, is there anyone here that I should say thank you to? Because this is an amazing miracle. Mi baal habira hazod. Who is the one who created this? To live in a way that is just to take and to take and to take and never think that I have to at least pay up somebody. That is the tragic mistake of halove velo meshalem. That's what Rabbi Shimon, who was dubbed by his Rebbe Yerechet, the one who feared sin. The biggest sin of all, Rabotai, is to ignore the tovot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Just yesterday in Hallel, what did we say, Rabotai? In Hallel, we said, Lo hametim yehalleluya, velo kol yoredei duma. The dead, they don't praise you, Hashem. Yoredei duma, those who go down into silence, that's it. Their career of song is over. Now, if they're singing in Olam Haba, that's begeder reward. That's not with Bechira. Va'anachnu. Oh, that va'anachnu. When a person says that word va'anachnu in Hallel, he should pause a little bit. He should say it with a simcha, because you know what that va'anachnu means? We're still above ground. We're not lo hametim. We're not the metim. We're still va'anachnu. We're still here. We're still around. Va'anachnu. Anachnu achayim. Ele v'chol achayim yodu chasena. All those who are alive, they shall thank you. It doesn't just mean, well, since you're alive, you might as well thank. No, because you're alive. V'chol achayim. Ata od b'chayim yodu chasena. Like David HaMelech said, Ahalela et Hashem bechayai. I shall praise Hashem in my life. Azame, it wasn't enough to say I should praise Hashem in my life. He said, Azamera lelokai be'odi. Not only in my life, meaning in my prime. Be'odi. As long as I am breathing, Ale Adamot, above ground, Ahalela et Hashem bechayai. Azamera lelokai be'odi. I shall sing to him. So va'anachnu nevarech ya me'ata ve'ad olam, hallelujah. So a Jew understands that living on this world means to say hallel. It means to thank Hashem. Lo amut ki echye. I didn't die yet. I'm still alive. Va'asaper ma'aseya. I have an obligation to do the least. The least is talk about Hashem. Talk about Him. To pay back Hashem, that's too much. Ma'ashiv l'Hashem, kol tagmulo yalai. It's impossible to pay back Hashem. It's impossible. But what's the... So we have a Mishnah at the end of our perek. Lo alecha melacha ligmo. Lo alecha melacha ligmo. You cannot finish the job of saying thank you. Aval ve'en ata ben chorim li'pater mimena. But don't think because you can't do it all... So don't even start. At least start. At least attempt. At least show that you're trying to say thank you. How is that? Talking about Him. So how can a person rattle off Birkat HaMazon? Rabotai, I'm talking to myself. I don't mean to give you Musar. Please, each one on his own knows what Musar he has to hear. I'm telling you for myself. How can a person rattle off Birkat HaMazon after eating? As if he's rattling off some kind of auctioneer of cars. Who knows? How is that possible? To sit for a good half hour. To enjoy a meal. He sat for a half hour. And then when it came to speak, to say thank you to Hashem, you couldn't even spend 3 minutes? Not even 3 minutes? How is that possible? That means that we have a little bit of the attitude, Chila Rabotai, if I say, but again, I'm talking to myself, of the love ve'eno mishalem, of the one who is love, he takes, he borrows, and he doesn't even think that he has to pay back. If we would realize what a ta'anug it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. He takes care of us, Rabotai. He gives us everything we need. Gives us food, gives us shelter, gives us clothing, gives us family, gives us friends, gives us breath, gives us everything. How could that just go by silently? Birkot HaShachar has to be said with gusto. Psukei DeZimra has to be said with an excitement, with a yidlavut. Birkat HaMazon has to be said with such a simcha, with such a happiness, with such a joy. You know, the Chinuch, Alav HaShalom, the Baal HaChinuch writes, Segula leParnasa Tova is to say Birkat HaMazon with simcha, with happiness. That's it. How can we rationalize this Segula, Rabotai, when a Rishon says a Segula, he's not giving us some magical trick over here. There is a rationality behind it. There's some kind of logic, a deep message here. Why is it if a person says Birkat HaMazon B'Simcha, then it's a segula that it'll have Parnasah Tova? I'm sure you're all thinking along with me. It's very simple, Rabotai. One who says Birkat HaMazon with happiness, Hashem says, ah, so he doesn't suffer from the Love Ve'eno Mishalem symptom. He understands that he owes, he understands that he's being given, he understands that he has to have gratitude. He's a good customer. I might as well give him more. Not just what I gave him today, I want to give him more, so that he'll say thank you more. So saying Birkat HaMazon with joy is a segula le parnasah tovah. Hashem says, I want to give him a good parnasah because he's going to appreciate it. He's not going to think that I owe him. You know how many people walk the face of the earth thinking that God owes them? I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's how many people think. Hashem, how could you do this to me? Didn't you hear how I prayed Ne'ilah in Yom Kippur? Asafi, Gamarnu. Now because he prayed Ne'ilah, the whole world is owed to him. Chabibik, that Ne'ilah doesn't even pay for the first breath that you took. That's how we have to look at the world. That's the attitude, that's the perspective that we have to have. The one that David HaMelech felt every moment, Ma'ashiv Lashem, Kol Tagmulo Yalai. What can I give you, Hashem? How can I pay you back? So it turns out, Rabotai, that Rabbi Shimon ben Etanel was saying a big thing over here. Not a simple thing. He was saying a very big thing. And that's with the help of the Pirush of Rabbi Chaim Mivolojin, the Ruach Chaim, on this Mishnah. And then we move on to the fifth opinion. Rabbi Elazar Omer, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Levra, a heart that is bad, or as we explained last time, a mind that is Ra, right? That parallels what he said, Lev Tov. Amar Lahem, Ro'e Ani et Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. He said to them, I see the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Shebichlal Devarav Divrechem, because included in his words are your words. You might ask me, I spent so much time raving about Rabbi Shimon, Lover Rasha Velo Yeshalem, and here comes Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he says, no, Rabbi Elazar, the words that he said, Lev Ra, it includes everything. Yes, of course it includes, Rabotai. If you remember the way we explained Lev Tov means a Torah mind, remember? Lev Ra means a heart that has no Torah, a mind that doesn't have any Torah. A mind that doesn't see the world with the eyeglasses of Torah means a mind that's going to think everybody owes him, not that he owes. So Lev Ra includes everything. If a person has a Lev Ra, if he has a mind that is vacant, that is empty, void of Torah, he's not going to have a Ayin Tov, he's not going to have a Chaver Tov, he's not going to have a Shachen Tov, he's going to surely be Love Ve'eno Meshalem. So therefore, ro'e ani et devarav, shebichlal devarav divrechem. Isn't it interesting, Rabotai, just as a side note, that, remember, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asked them, first, go out and find, ezohi derech tova, sheidbak ba'adam, right? What's the good way? And each one went out and came back with their conclusion. And immediately, upon coming back, what did Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai tell them? He gave them his grade. He said, "Ro'eh ani et divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Arach shebichlal devarav divrechem." Right? So it comes out. Imagine you have five students in class. They're given a special task by the teacher. All right? They go. Each one does the homework in accordance with his level. They come back, and what does the teacher say? Wouldn't you love when the teacher said this? Oh, I want everyone to know Reuven's homework, that his essay that he gave in is the best essay. Why? Because in his essay, you have the answers to all of yours. Now, the next day, the teacher comes, he says, I have a task to ask from you. I have another job for you. What is that? The opposite. Yesterday, I asked you, what is the derech tova? Now, I'm asking you derech ra'ah. Don't you think that the four other Tanaim should have went like this? They should have said, Rega, yesterday he told us that he likes our friend Rabbi Lazar's answer because all the answers that we gave are included in him. So don't you think they would go to to Rabbi Lazar, and they would say, Rabbi Lazar, come here, tell us. What do you think? What did you say yesterday? You said Lev Tov? Ah, so the Derech Ra is Lev Ra. That's it. You got your answer. Now you know what's the real... If you know what's the Derech Tova, then the opposite of that is the Derech Ra. If Rabban Yochanan Zakkai said yesterday that Rabbi Lazar ben Arach was correct, so you know the opposite of Rabbi Lazar ben Arach's words is the correct answer to Derech Ra. And yet we don't see that they came back with similar answers to Rabbi Lazar. They came back with their own answers. The one who said Ayin Ra'a Tova, he came back and said Ayin Ra'a. The one who said Chaver Tov, he still came back and he said Chavera. Did you not hear what Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai said yesterday, that the answer of Rabbi Lazar was the correct one? You should have just said the opposite of his answer. It's an interesting thing, no? It's a good question. I don't know if I made myself clear, but you understand the question? Rabotai, what do you see from here? The tremendous integrity of the mind of the Tanaim HaKadoshim. They heard very well what Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai said, how he praised their colleague Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, how he praised his answer. They heard, but when they were given another task by their Rebbe, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Tse'u ur'u ezoi derech ra'a, she'irchak mimena ha'adam, each one started their avodah of finding the answer to that question from scratch, with their own kochot, with their own personality, with their own tendency of thinking. They didn't just say, well, it's easy. Yesterday he said, Lev Tov is the good one. Okay, Lev Ra, gamanu hine. Lo. Each one went and he gave his all in to find out. Each one found out what was in accordance with his neshama, with his personality. So Rabbi Eliezer, when he came back, it was following the line of his thought that he came back with the day before. And he said, Ayin Ra'a is the bad way. And the next one said, Ken Chaver Ra'a. And the next one, Shachin Ra'a. They didn't copy from each other. Torah is not a Torah of copying one another, Rabotai. The Torah wants each one to absorb the Torah into himself and to make it part of his own and to bring his own kochot into it. The Torah has to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Torah of Yechezkel. He wants a Torah of Rabbi Rachamim. He wants a Torah of Rabbi Shlomo. He wants a Torah of Rabbi Asher. He doesn't want that one should copy the other. Tell me what the answers are and I'll just give the answers. No, what do you feel? How do you connect? That's what each one came back with. And let's begin the next Mishnah, Rabotai. By the way, Be'ezrat Hashem, with your permission, this week we'll continue, at least for this week, we'll continue Megillat Rut, not tonight. I think I went a little bit too overboard the time, but we'll continue in Megillat Rut to try to finish this week, okay? After all, we're still not saying Tachanun until the 12th or the 13th of Sivan, because these are days of Tashlumin for Chag HaShavuot, so the spirit of Chag HaShavuot is still in the air. Okay, Rabotai? Abi Yecheskel, I love to see your smile. It gives me all the koach in the world, all the simcha in the world. You know, I heard from a great man, you know what a smile or a compliment does to a person? To give someone a smile, it opens up the other person's heart. Opens him up. Or to give someone a compliment, for example, it opens him up. And you know what you did? You opened his heart. That's the key to his heart. And you unlocked, you unleashed his greatness. It's very important, very important. Let's say a Rebbe with students. When a Rebbe gives a compliment to his students, he is now opening up their heart to be able to accomplish what they're able to accomplish, to bring out their potential. It's very, very good. So, Rabbi Yecheskel, your smile, Leolam lo yipasek, yiratzon. Leolam. Rabbi Yecheskel. Vechen lekulam, kol hametukim kan, all of you, Rabotai. Zechut Ismach Moshe Tagen Ba'adenu. Rabbi Asher, you give us the Zechut to look at the face of the Tzaddik. We also have the face of the Chafetz Chaim. Mamash, what a holy screen we have over here. Let's read the Mishnah, the next Mishnah. The next few Mishnayot will be teachings from each one of these five Tanaim. So the first one is Rabbi Eliezer. Hem amiru shelosha devarim. Each one of them said three things. Rabbi Eliezer omer, what did Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanu say? Yehi chevot chavercha chaviv alecha keshelcha. Oh, wow. We can talk for days and days on this statement. Yehi chevot chavercha chaviv alecha keshelcha. The kavod of your friend should be precious to you, just like your own kavod. And simply, what does this mean? Just like you want to people to give you kavod, who can say that he doesn't like kavod? Everyone wants kavod. Everyone wants to be respected. Each one in his way, but each one wants to be respected. Each one enjoys honor. Honor is a ta'anug. I hate to say it, but I mean, we have to admit it. When someone gives kavod, it's a nice feeling. You feel nice? It feels nice, kavod. Well, make sure that you make your friend feel the same way. Just like you have a chavivut for kavod that is given to you, have the same chavivut. By the way, Rabbi Eliezer is giving us a heter for kavod here. If you hear what he's saying, it's very deep. He's giving us a heter, because be'emet, kavod. A person should run away from kavod. A person should go away from this. Mazepo, kavod is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nachon Rabbi Shlomo. Kavod is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem malach geut lavesh. What are we going for kavod? Sa'azeh asur. A person has to be borech min HaKavod. But Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you know something? If your kavod is chaviv to you, if the kavod of your friend is chaviv to you like your own kavod, oh, then your kavod served a good purpose. Then it served a good purpose. If it served as a comparison to how you want your friend to feel, then you're allowed to receive kavod. Then you even deserve kavod. Then you even deserve it. Yehi chevot chavercha chaviv alecha keshelcha. To guard the kavod of your friend. So important. So important, Rabotai. Ah. There's another pirush on this line in the Mishnah with a little bit of a twist. There's a story, I think Rav Ovadia brings it in his Sefer Anaf Etzavot, about the Rebbe Reb Shmelke min Nikolsburg. Reb Shmelke from Nikolsburg, Zechuto Tagen Aleinu, was a great Gaon and Tzaddik, and he was the, him and his brother were two Geone Olam, were two mamash great Admorim and Geonim in Torah. Rav Shmuel min Nikolsburg. So when he was about to be crowned with the high position of the Rabbanut of Nikolsburg, Nikolsburg was a very big and prominent city. The position of Rabbanut there was a very big kavod. And so they invited everyone to a big party. This was going to be what's called in Hebrew the Hachtara, the crowning of the rabbi with the new position. A few minutes before Rav Shmelke in Nikolsburg was supposed to make his grand entrance into the room, someone overheard him walking, pacing back and forth in a room that was closed. And he was talking to himself. You hear this? Rav Shmelke in Nikolsburg, a few minutes before he's about to enter the banquet hall that is all in his honor, he was in a room closed and he was talking to himself. And Baruch Hashem, we always have that Talmud that makes sure to listen for posterity. What was he saying? And so he overheard the Rebbe. He was saying, Ah, Reb Shmelke, Ah, Geon Ador, Mofet Ador, Migdal Oz, Ah, the big Abir Haroim, Sabad Mishpatim. Why? He was giving himself such to'arim. And he was saying, Ah, Reb Shmelke, you made it, huh? You made it. Wow, you're great. You're amazing. And he was going on. So the Talmid was taken back. He couldn't believe it. What's this? The Rebbe is praising himself profusely. How could this be? So Baruch Hashem also, we always have the Talmid that actually has the guts to go and ask, Rabbeinu, can you tell us? I'm sorry, I overheard the Rav. Well, the Rav, he likes kavod. What's going on? He's praising himself. I don't know what to make of it. So the Rav told him like this. He said, it says in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avot, Yehi chevot chavercha, chaviv alecha keshelcha. I know that I'm about to walk into this room, and everybody's going to stand up for me, and everyone is going to shower praises at me. All the speakers are going to say, Harava Gaona Gadol, and on and on and on. And, you know, kavod is a very big trap. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. I'm going to fall for it. So you know what? I had to do rehearsals. I had to practice. What was the practice? I was telling myself, you are a gadol, you are a gaon, you are in this. Now, when a person tells himself praises, how does that feel? Meh. What do you mean? If you praise yourself, you don't feel much kavod out of this. The fun is when someone else tells you that you are a gaon and a gadol. So I was practicing, I was saying to myself, just like when I hear these words from my own mouth, they mean nothing to me. That's how I should feel when I hear it now in 5 minutes when I go into the room. And he explained it. Yehi chevot chavelcha, chaviv alecha keshelcha. Meaning, the kavod that your friend showers on you should be as precious keshelcha as if you're showering it on yourself. Just like if you're showering on yourself, it doesn't make such a big difference in your life. So too, when he's showering you with the kavod, it shouldn't make such a big difference in your life. So that's how he was rehearsing for his grand entrance, this gadol. We have so many stories in the Gemara about how the Amoraim were so careful when they made an entrance into a room where all the people were going to give them kavod and stand up for them. So for example, the Gemara tells us about Rav Huna, they would have a certain pasuk that they would be saying in their mouth, whispering to themselves about how the kavod is worth it. It's not in this world, it's nothing, right? One of the psukim, well-known psukim in Tehilim, Al tevo'eni regel ga'ava, let not the pangs of ga'ava come to me, take me over. And for example, also they say about the Ari HaKadosh, he was at the last minute of his life, he was mumbling words to himself. And the Talmidim bent over to hear, what is he saying? He was saying, Al tevo'eni regel ga'ava. You hear that? Even up to the last minute of the Kadosh Elyon, he was worried that he should not be ensnared in that trap of Ga'ava. Maybe seeing all the Talmidim around him, maybe a thought, oh, look, Yitzchakle, you made it. No, Al Tevo'eni Regel Ga'ava. That's how careful our Gedolim were. But that's really taking the words here out of context. It's a beautiful pirush. But the simple pshat, Yehi chevot chavircha, chaviv alecha keshelcha, that giving kavod to your friend should be as precious to you as you like when people give kavod to you. And the second phrase of Rabbi Eliezer, ve'al tehi noach lichos, and don't be quick and easy to anger. Oh, that's in itself hours and hours. Ve'shuv yom echad lifnei mitatecha, and come back to Hashem, repent, do teshuvah one day before you pass away. The famous, the Braita continues. We don't have the continuation in the Mishnah, but in the Braita, the Talmidim asked, is the Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbeinu, do we know when we're going to die? So how do we know one day before? So Rabbi Eliezer said, that's what I meant. I meant every day to do teshuvah, because you never know, who knows? So even a person who's 119 years old, he should be doing teshuvah, who knows? Maybe it's the last day. Veshuv yom echad lifnei mitatecha, veheve mitchamem keneged uran shel chachamim, and warm up to the fire of the chachamim. Try always to get as close as possible to learn and to be in the company within the vicinity of chachamim. However, know also that as close as you're going to be, you have to be careful with their kavod. Sometimes a person gets, as they say, too hamish, right? Too comfortable with someone, and he might not give the proper respect. Be careful with their coal, that you shouldn't be burnt. It's a bite of the fox, v'akitzatan akitzat hakrav of the scorpion, ulchishatan lechishat saraf of the snake, v'chol divrehem kigachale esh, to know that all their words are like coals of fire. That same heat that warms up, we should imagine it as the fire of Har Sinai, that is the ema and mora and retet v'ze'ah, the fear and the awesomeness a feeling that we should have towards Torah should never ever escape us. So that those are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. I know I didn't explain anything. I admit, Rabotai, I'm sorry. But you know what? It's a ta'anuk to read these words with you. And Bezrat Hashem, Bli Neder, tomorrow maybe we'll say a few words, a little bit more on this Mishnah, and we'll move on to finish the Perek. So I thank you for joining.